You know, last time we spoke of some of the riddles that arise out of the supposition that reality is Satchidananda. Particularly, the nature of reality is Ananda. The problem was, how can Ananda be reconciled with the experience of suffering and with the experience of evil? These two important elements which we experience in the world, how can they be explained if at the root of the world is Ananda? Because these two seem to be quite opposite of Ananda. This was the main problem that we were grappling with. So I shall now revise, because there has been long distance between that date and today. So I'll revise it very rapidly and then take up the thread further. First of all, it may be argued that this world is not entirely painful. Some philosophies do declare this world to be entirely painful. Dukkhamayam sansaram. This whole world is nothing but full of misery. If you examine the nature of the world objectively, you will find that there are three experiences of this world. There is a pleasant experience, painful experience, and neutral experience. So if you actually calculate more accurately, you'll find that the sum total of pleasant and neutral is far greater than the sum total of the suffering in the world. Normally we don't put into our account book the pleasant and the neutral. In any case, neutral is hardly taken into account because it doesn't enter into our conscious experience. But if you put the neutral and the pleasant together, then the sum total of these two is much greater than the sum total of the suffering. But we feel suffering much more acutely than we experience neutrality and pleasantness. That is because normally we have pleasantness and neutrality. And since suffering comes as a kind of an exception, it looms large in our consciousness. So we feel as if the world is full of suffering. In any case, one who is suffering certainly feels that the world is nothing but suffering. But even if the sum total of pleasure and of neutrality is greater than the sum total of suffering, the problem remains. If Ananda is at the root, how can there be this suffering, even this little bit of suffering in the world? If Ananda is the reality, then manifestation also should be Ananda. How can there be suffering?
Can you answer the question? In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna said about anityam asukham lokam. That's right.
Can
you explain that in this context?
Well, it is quite true. This is what I was referring to, that there are many statements of this kind, that this world is described as anityam asukham. And it is not untrue. But if you want to state the whole experience of reality, then this statement has to be read in context of where Sri Krishna also says that he is present in all the natural phenomena. And if you examine the Vibhuti Yoga, in which Sri Krishna is described as being present, he is Arjuna among the Pandavas, and he is Brihaspati among the gods, and so on. Now all that is not asukham at all. So if you take the full account of Sri Krishna's account of the world, then this statement is to be read in the context of the rest. But there are philosophies which even go beyond, and they really believe that whatever happiness you have in the world is like having a picnic party on a mountain where volcano is about to burst out. So what will be the pleasure of the picnic? Such is the pleasure in this world. This is how it is described, that people do not know that they are sitting on a volcano. Not knowing this, they are enjoying. But objectively speaking, you know that below all this is volcano, and suddenly it will burst out, and where will be the pleasure of this picnic then? It is with regard to that statement that we have to say that everything is not volcanic. Even that statement which is made, that everything is volcanic in this world, that statement is not objectively true. But even though that is not objectively true, it is a fact that there is a volcano. There is in this world the seed of suffering, and there are experiences of suffering which are extremely intolerable. And that is what constitutes a problem. If reality is ananda, how can there be this kind of suffering? Now this problem becomes even acuter when you assume that this ananda, which is at the root, is an omnipotent creator. And that is also a further statement about Satchidananda. Satchidananda is not only the basic stratum of this world, but he is also a supreme creator, an omnipotent creator. So last time I had raised the problem that if the divine is a supreme creator, omnipotent creator, then it is inconceivable how that omnipotent creator was incompetent to eliminate suffering from the world. How could he create a world which was full of suffering? Even though that suffering may not be the totality of the world, but even partially, if there is suffering in the world, how could he create this suffering and tolerate it? If he is omnipotent, he should be able to eliminate it. I had referred to the dilemma which was presented by Mill, where he had said that God is either omnipotent, in which case evil could have not existed, or if evil exists, he must be evil himself. So either God is omnipotent, in which case he must be evil also, because evil exists in the world. Or if he is good, he cannot be omnipotent, because he is not able to eliminate evil from the world. So God is either omnipotent or good, but he can't be both. This is one of the ways of presenting the problem. In fact, Sri Aurobindo has called this chapter number 11, Delight of Existence, the problem. So the statement of the problem has to be quite accurate. First of all, we must understand where the sting of the problem lies. So this is one of the ways by which it is attempted to show that there is a dilemma the moment you assume that God is good and He is omnipotent. And that is the notion of Satchidananda. Satchidananda is good and He is omnipotent. Therefore the problem arises, how can you explain the presence of evil and suffering? Now to save God, I told you, there are many ways by which many adherents try to save God from this reproach. If you criticize that God must be either omnipotent or good, but not both, and to assert that God is both omnipotent and good, a kind of a series of arguments are brought forward. One argument is that God Himself is omnipotent and good, but He has given freedom to man. Why freedom? Because God is good and freedom is good. Therefore, God, being good, He has given freedom to man. But that freedom is misused by man. And evil and suffering is a result of the use of freedom in a wrong way. And the wrong way is attributed to man, not to God. So this is one of the ways by which God is protected from being reproached of the presence of evil and suffering in the world.